Ana Quezada has won election four times as a state senator from Providence. Now she's targeting a loftier goal, the vacant seat in Rhode Island's first congressional district. Quezada is one of 22 Democrats in the race. So why is she running, and how did she get interested in politics? I'm Ian Donis, and this week I'm going in-depth with CD1 Democratic candidate Ana Quezada. Welcome to the Publix Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me, why are you running for this open seat in the first congressional district?
Well, many reasons, but I had to say to you, I wasn't thinking to run. That's why I was a little late coming out, because I was thinking, you know, how I'm going to get the money to run for this big district. But so many people came to me, so many people in my district, some other leader, and said, Senator Quezada, do it, do it. We will support you. We will help you. And that started when I decide to run for this position. And, you know, I've been a fighter since I've been in the Senate. I fight for many things and many issues in my district. And one of the things, when I came to the Senate, I didn't know a lot about politics because I never been in another other position. I didn't know, but one thing that I knew was with the issues in my community. And I knew what it is for people who work in factory, what it is for people who making minimum wage, what it is for people who having daycare issue, what was the issue for people who having overdose. And those issues I knew. Was the issue in my community about DCYF and the DHS issues and many other issues.
Let me stop you there because we've got a lot of ground to cover. There are a huge number of candidates running in this race. As you know, 35 candidates have declared. They each have to return 500 signatures to qualify for the ballot. You are one of 22 Democrats running. Is it good or bad that there are so many people running?
Well, for me, it's good. For me, it's good because the more people running, I see it like when you buy a cake. And you buy a cake depending on the many people who come to your party. And the more people in the race, the less vote that you need to get. Then that's the way I see it. I had a very good, solid vote in my district because almost my whole district 2 is in district 1, in CD1. Then for me, I think it's worth finding how many of those 22 will stay in the race. We will know on the 14th of this month.
You have won four terms as a state senator from Providence, so you certainly do have support from your state Senate district. But some of the other Democrats running for the first congressional district seat are better known. They've run statewide in the past. They will probably have considerably more money. What is your path to victory in this race?
To be honest to you, money is not the one who's going to stop. I know I'm the underdog in this race because of money, why, and other things. But one thing that I have that other candidates don't have is a lot of volunteers who are willing to work for me for free. I have many support. Everybody who helping me is from Rhode Island. I didn't bring nobody from Washington. I didn't bring anybody from another state to be in my campaign. Everybody is from Rhode Island, people who I connected to other Rhode Island. And my way to victory is work hard, knock as many doors I can, connect to the Rhode Island borders. I'm a regular Rhode Island, somebody who worked in Rhode Island for many, many years. I've been in Rhode Island for 33 years. Then I know the people. I know how to connect with people. And that's what I'm planning to do in this election. That's my way to victory. People who knows Rhode Island, people who work in Rhode Island, people who live in Rhode Island. I want to bring Rhode Island to Washington, not Washington to Rhode Island.
Senator Quezada, why did you not run when there was an open seat in the 2nd District last year?
Because once I said to you again, I would never made it in that district. It's a very conservative district. I never passed my head to run for this office at that time because you need at least $1 million that I knew I wasn't going to be able to get it. Then that was the reason I didn't run for that. I didn't live in District 2 either. Now I do live in District 1, and because I special election once, and as so many people in the race, I have more possibility, and I will win this election.
For people who are struggling to get by economically, if you were the next member of Congress, how would you try to help them?
Well, I'm not going to say what I'm going to do. But I'm going to tell you what I'm done for working families, and I passed the minimum wage. I was able to pass legislation that affect working families, and that's what I'm planning to do in Washington. How? Increasing the minimum wage nationwide, like we did in Rhode Island for $15 an hour, that I did it 3 years, 4 years ago, making sure that we bring the resources that Rhode Island need and making sure we put inflation down. And I really, because people talking about inflation, like it's because of, the stimulus money, it was too much that the governor gave it to us, or the interest rate is too high. And I don't believe that. I think it's big corporation making big money, making big profit. And I think we need to bring those corporations down, sit down with them, make them to pay the taxes that they need to pay, make sure that they, you know, the inflation go down, because they are making things short to make more profits for us. And that's what I believe we need to do in Washington.
The minimum wage is nothing to sneeze at, and you're one of a number of lawmakers who supported raising the minimum wage in Rhode Island. But Democrats have been running the legislature for many, many decades, and Rhode Island still struggles with its economy. How come Democrats haven't been able to make more progress in improving Rhode Island's economy?
Well, I cannot tell you what other Democrats done, but I can tell you what I've done. And I believe that we're going in the right direction in Rhode Island and being big company coming to Rhode Island, and we need to bring more jobs to Rhode Island to be able to increase our avenue for more taxes, for more people to be able to find great, good pay jobs. And I believe Governor McKee and previous Governor Gina Raimondo did a great job bringing more company to Rhode Island to be able to open jobs, more jobs, and that bring more avenue to the state. And in the last few years that we have, our avenue for taxes, it was pretty good. Then I think we are going the right place, and we're going the right direction to the state. And I will continue the same path in Washington to bring resources to Rhode Island, to increase and to bring people, to show Rhode Island is the right place for you to bring your company and grow company here and bring jobs and bring economic clean energy and things like that, that would bring great pay jobs to people in Rhode Island.
I've got to ask you about your colleague in the state Senate, Cranston State Senator Josh Miller. He was recently arrested and charged with vandalism. He's accused of keying an SUV. Do you think he should resign, yes or no?
No. I think that's his job to decide what he wanted to do and how he wanted to work with this. I know Senator Miller, I don't know what happened to him at that moment. We are human and we all make mistakes. And he just had to share what happened that day. And whatever consequences he's had to show, he had to deal with that himself, and that would be his choices.
We're talking here with State Senator Ana Quezada, one of the many Democrats running in the 1st Congressional District. You were the Senate sponsor of a bill this year to reduce the amount of interest that could be charged by payday lenders. The bill cleared the House but did not get a vote in the State Senate. Why is it that Senate President Dominic Ruggiero is so reluctant to allow a vote on this issue?
Well, this legislation, previous to be my bill, it was Senator Met legislation for many years. When he lost his seat, he asked me to please continue this legislation. I do believe in this legislation, and I've been continue putting it in
sure,
every
but the,
year.
The question really, though, is why is President Ruggiero you must have some thoughts of your own on why he's so unwilling to allow a vote on this.
To be honest to you, he and I did have a conversation. He think it's not the right time to pass this legislation, but I really believe it's who behind this legislation and who's the lobby behind the legislation who doesn't go through in the Senate side. And I think it's the right things to do. I was very upset when that legislation passed the House and didn't pass in the Senate. Didn't even have a hearing in the Senate, how bad it was. They didn't even went to a hearing. I requested many times to the chair of the hearing, Senator Czarnecki, and she told me, Senator, the leadership said it's not the time for that legislation yet.
President Ruggiero has been in the legislature for a long time, but eventually a time will come when he will pass the baton. The heir apparent in the Senate appears to be Majority Leader Ryan Pearson. Are you committed to supporting Ryan Pearson to be the next president when that transition happens?
I will pass that bridge when I go through. I don't know, because we don't know what's going to happen.
How did you get interested in politics?
I got interested in politics many years ago when I moved to Smith Hill neighborhood. And my senator at that time was Mary Ellen Goodwin and represented John McCauley. They came to my door, they knocked on my house, they changed my registration, they welcomed to the neighborhood. And then he asked me, he said, my neighborhood changed a lot. I need somebody to translate for me. Can you come with me? And I said, definitely. And then I started knocking door with him and with Mary Ellen. And then one day he sit down with me and he said, you should think about run for office because you had very charismatic person and people like you. And when I don't run anymore, I would love you to stay in my seat. But I moved, I sold that property and I moved to Reservoir Triangle. And Representative Slater died. And Representative John McCauley called me and he said, Anna, you live in that district. Why you don't run for office? I will help you. And I did. I ran and I lost. And I ran and I lost. And I ran and I lost. I lost three times. And then the community is asking me, why you don't run for senator? We need a change. The senator is not doing his job, and we want somebody else to go to that seat. And they insist so much that I did, and I lost. And then the second time I did, I win.
Quick final question. What is your favorite place to eat in the 1st Congressional District?
Many, many places. One
if
good
you just end, had to pick one.
Carolina and Ambrose Street.
All right, State Senator Anna Quezada, one of 22 Democrats running in the 1st Congressional District in Rhode Island. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you so much for having me on your show, and thank you for the opportunity to address some issues in Rhode Island.
The Democratic primary in the 1st Congressional District is coming up in less than 2 months, on September 5th. We can only wonder how much attention voters will pay to the race during the height of summer. The huge field means that someone could win the contest with a thin slice of the vote. Political Roundtable is taking a vacation next week, but it will return later in July to bring you more talk from candidates and other key figures in Rhode Island politics. Thank you for listening to our show this week. Our producer is James Baumgartner. I'm Ian Donis, and I'll see you on the radio.